Welcome back to the show, and I'm now joined by Brendan Byrne, as documentary producer of 66 Days, which is about the hunger strike and Bobby Sands. You're very welcome, Brendan.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Brendan, tell us a wee bit about the background to yourself, first of all.
Well, I was born in 1966 in Ardoyne in North Belfast, one of five kids, and sort of grew up there, played for the Ardoyne Kickhams GAA team, went to St. Mary's Christian Brothers Grammar School on the Glen Road, and my dad worked for Dunn Stores, and my mother was a dinner lady in Mercy Primary. So I was kind of shaped and formed, I suppose, by the early years of the Troubles, as they were all on display outside the front door.
And then you decided, after university and a few other jobs, I assume, to become a film producer.
Yes, well, I left university in 1988, and I was part of a small group of people who specialised in small business, and the then Ledu, which is now InvestNI, wanted to try and find a way of having the 10 small business graduates actually stay and work with up-and-coming Northern Irish companies, thinking maybe we'd maybe go to America or London or whatever. And they did this very, very complicated testing of us and all the rest of it, and then, to cut a long story short, I ended up getting a job interview with an independent film company, and I hadn't up until that point really thought much about that as a career path at all, although as soon as it was presented to myself I was immediately interested, and I eventually joined that company. They needed some business support because they were mainly creatives, and I soon, after a number of years being in there, four to be precise, helping them out on the business side, I had become much more interested in the creative side as well. And I actually left there after 4 years in 1992. They were mainly creatives. And I soon, after a number of years being in there, four to be precise, helping them out on the business side, I had become much more interested in the creative side as well. And I actually left there after 4 years in 1992 to make my first film, which was about my own Gaelic football team in Ardoyne, called the Ardoyne Kickhams, which was a film for Channel 4. And that sort of kicked me off, and I've been at it ever since.
So, in terms of this one, I mean, the hunger strikes are well documented.
And I thought, well, you know what? Actually, yes, Hunger is a great movie. Some Mother Son's a good movie. But, you know, Bobby Sands, here's this huge figure in our contemporary history. Here's someone who actually unwittingly, unknowingly changed the course of Irish history. But who is he? Bar an image on a gable wall and a number of quotations, I thought, who is this guy? I don't know who this guy, I don't know really where he came from, I don't know anything about him, I don't know what politicised him, I don't know what tradition he came from. And whilst I was a big fan of Hunger, it was a very experiential film. It was looking at someone who was in the act of hunger strike, whereas I became much more interested in finding the story of the person who actually was drawn to do that, and, as I say, what motivated him, and what actually drew him to actually even defy his own movement, the IRA, by deciding to go on hunger strike against their wishes.
So did you speak to the family then? Did they have an input into what you were doing?
Well, we did. I mean, I went to meet Bobby's two sisters and a son. Now, there's another brother there, but he wasn't present at the meeting. And I told him exactly what I was doing. Now, they rarely contribute to anything about their brother and father in the media. They did contribute to a 1985 book by a guy called John Fagan. And since then, they have really, you know, and I have huge respect for them in the sense that I think they want to protect, obviously, some private aspects of the memory of their brother and father. So I went and told them what I was doing. I asked them to participate. They politely refused. I have let them know that the film's going to be released. I have offered them a screening of the film. So relations with them have been perfectly cordial, but they have chosen not to participate, and that's not unusual or inconsistent with approaches to them from many myriad sources from the media over many, many years.
You say you wanted to concentrate on who was the person, so what did you find out?
Well, I mean, I think I found out basically we chart the trajectory of his life story, primarily, really, I think, after, you know, some early biographical stuff in relation to his football team and the Star of the Sea, but really to his kind of early politicisation. And I think what was the kind of revelation for me was that we find a guy who became politicised largely because of sectarianism in the first instance, because he was somebody who lived in the Rathcoole area, and at the outbreak of the Troubles, he was driven out of his home. He then moved over to Twinbrook, where he got involved in kind of community politics, and obviously had joined the IRA by this stage. But then under the wing of Adams and other influential Republicans in Cage 11, and through a series of reading and discussions, became up to speed with the then most kind of intelligent thinkers within the Republican movement. But at the point at which he was the OC of the first hunger strike, which failed when Brendan Hughes called it off after 55 days because one of the hunger strikers, Sean McKenna, was about to die, that's where Bobby Sands, the man, Bobby Sands, the leader, Bobby Sands, front and centre, really emerges from beyond the kind of line of all of his other comrades, because it's at that moment within the walls of Longcash that he sees that, you know, he thinks the integrity, as he sees it, of the Republican movement that is in jeopardy, and it's going to be defeated. So he then decides almost single-handedly to pursue that second hunger strike, and as I say, much against the will of the IRA, and yet he eventually comes to a moment where he says, well, you got to back me or sack me. So he goes into that prison cell on the 1st of March 1981, knowing full well that he's going to die. There are no circumstances other than the granting of the five demands that will stop him from that hunger strike. So he is going to die in his mind to protect the integrity of the Republican struggle and to ensure, you know, that he will die in the service of his demands. So whilst there was five demands, obviously they were only symbolic of the greater demand, which obviously Irish Republicans see as a united Ireland. So I think I was interested in finding unstereotypical elements of a narrative about a key figure who we don't know. From a Protestant Unionist perspective, I was actually, in some respects, trying to challenge and open the interpretation that, you know, kind of IRA guys are one-dimensional murderers. And in the same breath, I was trying to challenge Nationalists and Republicans to say that, you know, this kind of blind idealism and youthful idealism, you know, like any other military army, you know, eats up its young and they're kind of scattered on the battlefield. You know, so I think there's a lot of thinking and soul searching for both communities, and I think after 35 years, you know, it was the 35th anniversary of Bobby Sands' death in May there this year.
Now, it's been well received, and you interviewed quite a lot of people. Some of them I see here, Norman Tebbit. I can't imagine that he was overly complimentary.
He certainly wasn't. I interviewed Norman Tebbit and Charles Murray, Margaret Thatcher's biographer. Norman Tebbit was very, very tough, very, very honest. He kind of revels in his toughness and honesty. When the interview finished, he says, yeah, I hope you can use some of that, you know, almost with a glint in his eye. And I felt, obviously, duty-bound to present a very rounded picture. And I know people will see a kind of film about Bobby Sands, they'll immediately kind of reach for a kind of stock criticism about, you know, oh, that's going to be a hagiography, that's going to be a flag waver for the IRA. And it's very much not. I think it could be described as a sympathetic portrait of Bobby Sands, but certainly not a sympathetic portrait of the IRA.
Well, it says here that it's quite an empathetic portrayal.
An empathetic portrayal of Bobby Sands as an individual, for sure. I think I'm happy to stand over that, because there's many aspects of his story and his character which, you know, as a filmmaker observing it, you know, I respect, and I think in that respect the film, he's a fascinating subject matter for a film. But, you know, within that portrait, and it's a cinematic portrait, there are a lot of voices to contextualize, you know, against the movement that Bobby Sands so passionately fought for. So it's not one-sided, and yet it's not balanced for the sake of balance, But, you know, it's certainly, I was acutely aware, Tom, as you will be too, that, you know, the level of scrutiny around a film like this, and it would be, you could easily do it in a way whereby it would be easy to criticise. So it was very important for us to bring it out into the world, and for it to be seen out in the world, and to be reviewed beyond these shores, so that outside observers with a lesser knowledge of the specific details review it and consider it as a film in the first instance, before it comes back home and is open to slightly more intense and granular scrutiny.
Do you think, Brendan, I mean, slightly skewed on it, but is, you know, a figure as iconic as John Hume, there's been no such film.
Well, I know there's a number of people trying at various levels to do various projects. There's been one or two decent TV documentaries about John Hume. I know there's a couple of movie projects, but I suppose at the end of the day, Tom, and not to make it sound crass at any level, you know, movies and narrative fiction of any description, books or whatever, you know, are essentially the best ones are either about love or death.
Well, I've got to say, it's not dead, so, you know, it's lived on, but it's,
no,
it's amazing.
I mean that, but, you know, what I mean is the act of hunger strike is so severe, is so resonant, it captures the imagination and attacks other people's imaginations. So such is the kind of dramatic core of such a story, then it lends itself more obviously, I think, perhaps to film. John Hume, brilliant character, massive contribution, but actually hard to make a film about John Hume, because in a way you have to find, the best biography films tend to have to find a narrow period within the life to tell the story, because if it just becomes a ba-bump, 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 you know, you're packing in 40 years of achievement across
it was more in the fact that Ivan Cooper, that movie that was made by Ivan Cooper by the independent movie production team, that, you know, centred on a figure that by and large is forgotten.
Well, but obviously, you know, it was obviously because of you know, the key moment of which he was a part of,
yeah,
at that time. So that's a moment in time. And
where can people catch this?
Well, it's having its Irish premiere next Friday in Galway at the Galway Film Fla, which is Ireland's most prominent film event, and then it's having a Belfast premiere on the 30th of July in the Kennedy Omniplex, which is a joint screening between the Belfast Film Festival and Felia and Fubble. And then it's released in cinemas nationwide on the 5th of August, and it will be playing in 20 cinemas across Ireland, north and south, some in Belfast, Dublin, Kerry, Newry, Derry, Cork, New York, Garda Hart and Glenamatty.
Okay, so it'll be, you can catch it. You can catch it in an Omniplex somewhere near you.
Yes, I'd say so. August. On August the 5th, you'll be able to go and see it. And I hope people do. And the one thing I do want to say, and I did manage to say it, Tom, is I showed the film at Sheffield Dockfest a month ago, and there was two young students who go to Sheffield University, both from Protestant backgrounds in Northern Ireland. One was from Limavady, and the other one was from Maharafelt. And they come up to me afterwards, they were about 20, and they said, look, really enjoyed your film, genuinely really enjoyed your film. We're both from Protestant backgrounds. We'd been given one side of the narrative, and whilst your film has really kind of taught me something I didn't know. And it's those younger kids, whilst I know the people my age, I'm 50, you know, people who remember the period will go and see this film. I'm really passionate about trying to reach out the younger generation to go to see this film, because there's a lot in it for them, and there's a lot of interest in it for them. And as I say, it's not telling them what way to think, but it's a kind of real snapshot and a kind of interesting historical and political lesson about the country they were born in.
Okay, and finally, you have launched a silver fund to actually get other people into the business.
Yes, we have a Canadian partner in Toronto called Fadoo Productions, and we've been going back and forward to the Hot Docs Canadian International Documentary Festival, where Bobby Sands' film got its world premiere this year. So we've done a tie-up with Fadoo Productions and a Canadian entrepreneur called Michael Silver. And between Michael Silver and Northern Ireland Screen, we've put together a $500,000 dollar production and development fund, where it's open to the most exciting feature documentary projects or episodic television that are out there. It's primarily targeted at things that we think can get financed and broadcast in North America. And it's, we've received our first number of applications, and we're just about a couple of weeks away from making the first announcement of a couple of projects we're supporting.
Okay, Brendan, it's great to chat to you. Exciting film. Hope to catch it in Belfast. If not, I'll pick it up in Newry. And wishing you all the best.
Many thanks, Tom. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Take care, Brendan.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Bye.